Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, live from the WNYC studios in Soho. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Whether you're listening on the radio, live streaming, or on demand, I'm grateful you're here. And before we start the show today, I want to say to all my fellow New Yorkers, take care of each other and look out for each other and be gentle with one another. You never know what someone's going through right now or how someone is being affected by world events. Sometimes it can feel like we can't make a difference when the macro problems seem so enormous. So we here at All of It want to try to help out in our area and get you to help out in our area in a micro way. All of It is hosting a blood drive on Monday, October 30th from 12 to 4:30 p.m. in the green space. New York City's blood supplies are critically low, so we're partnering with the New York Blood Bank. You can sign up for a slot at wnyc.org/giveblood. Come on down, visit us here at WNYC in the green space. I'll be down there for a while. That's Monday, October 30th, wnyc.org/giveblood for more information. And while we're on the topic of blood, let's get the show started with Sweeney Todd.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
He served a dark and a vengeful god.
He served a dark and a vengeful god.
What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away. Not Sweeney.
Not Sweeney Todd. The demon bother of feet.
It is Friday the 13th, so what better way to kick off the show today than to get spooky with the star and director of Sweeney Todd. Tony-nominated Josh Groban's bold voice is deployed to chilling effect as the demon barber of Fleet Street, a man bent on revenge for the loss of his wife and daughter. Under the direction of Tony winner Thomas Kail, the Sweeney is big. It has a full orchestra, a large and talented ensemble, a two-tiered set, and a lot of blood. But amidst all the fog and gore, the show is really centered in the strange, tender, and terrifying relationship between Sweeney Todd and the baker, Mrs. Lovett, played by Annalee Ashford, who was also nominated for a Tony for her frisky take on the character. And you can now listen to Josh and Annalee because the Sweeney Todd cast album is out now. We'll listen to some tracks and talk about the whole Sweeney Todd production with director Thomas Kail. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, hello.
And Josh Groban. Hi, Josh.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So there have been a lot of revivals of this show that have been stripped back, some of them. This one, Thomas, is lush and big and inviting in a scary way. Why did you decide to go in that direction?
Well, Josh called me in 2019 and said he had a desire to play this part. He said, Tony, if I go for that, I want it to have all of the robustness and the lushness of that original production. And we were just in sync immediately. I said, well, if I were ever to do it, would you please be Sweeney Todd? Yes, thank you. And let's go and try to do that. And just, you know, the fullness of that sound, the full throatedness of the experience was something we were really interested in trying to accomplish. And it's one of the most remarkable groups on stage and off down there. So we had a lot of fun making it. And I think this idea of something that could be maximal in its size and scope, but yet intimate in its emotionality was something we were also really keen to explore.
Josh, what was your very, very first exposure to Sweeney Todd?
My very first exposure to Sweeney Todd was in Los Angeles, actually, where I grew up. And I was very, very fortunate that my parents, who are not in the arts professionally, but lovers and supporters of the arts, took my brother and I to see a lot of theater. And I was lucky enough to go and see a production by a wonderful company called the East West Players, an entire Asian American theater troupe in Los Angeles. And it was just my first time hearing the music of Sweeney Todd. It was about a chamber size orchestra. The singing was, of course, spectacular, and I walked away from it feeling all the things that one feels from Sweeney Todd, all of the chills and the beauty, the juxtaposition of the beauty of the music with the nature of the almost cartoonishly, you know, horrible things that are happening in these lives. And I just said to myself, okay, well, that's something that will stick with me forever and ever. And since then, of course, I've seen many productions and it's been done many times absolutely brilliantly. As Tommy was saying, to have the opportunity to do it at this size and scope at this time it has been the greatest privilege of my career.
Thomas, I was speaking with Maria Friedman, who directed Merrily We Roll Along, yeah. And we talked about how Jonathan Groff's inherent charm, that she really used it, because Frank is kind of an unlikable character at times in that musical. Mm-hmm. So what was your move on taking someone like Josh, who is a lovely, charismatic human, who's playing a murderer?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts about Jonathan Groff as charming, but that's for another podcast. You know, it felt to me early on when Josh and I were having those initial conversations, then as we, you know, did a little workshop a few years later and then started the rehearsal process, was Josh and I were both interested in the same thing, which is the story of a man who became a monster. And so this idea of who was he before he was transported? Who was he before he was taken away? And I think what Josh brings to the role, and the reason why I think that the experience that audiences have been having over this, you know, this last 7 or 8 months is one of deep entertainment. I think there's thrills in it. I think it's funny. And I think they're moved at the end. And mm-hmm. I think we were really interested in not being afraid to move people. And so I think that humanity, this idea of a person who lived a life and then had to become something else because the world took the things that he cared about. So then you see, then you see progression, you see evolution, and you also understand underneath it is this incredible warmth, this desire to be back with his loved ones that was taken from him. And so this is what happened when you push him to this edge.
Yeah, just want to follow up with you. How did you find empathy for a serial killer?
I had to kind of reach back and reach deep into who Benjamin Barker was. I had to find who the person was who had a small business, who was a family man, who liked to make his baby daughter laugh and dote on his wife, and for all intents and purposes had a number of atrocities done to him, and he had not committed any at that point in his life. And under the right amount of time and pressure and trauma, how does somebody snap and go to the other side? And so, you know, for certainly the first half of the show, I like to lean into who that person is that left and is now coming back, and how many changes have happened since he was away. And then, of course, once Epiphany happens, everybody's bearing witness to what can happen when the snap occurs, and then the callousness that can occur after the emotionality of that. And to me, that was far more interesting to lean into the lyric of "Isn't that Sweeney there beside you?" Mm-hmm. This is not somebody who's punching holes in walls. This is somebody who's inviting people quite calmly and gently and to sit in this luxurious chair. That's far more terrifying to me than saying, "Hey, that's the monster in the room."
My guests are Josh Groban and Thomas Kail. We're talking about Sweeney Todd on Broadway. So this got this big full orchestra. Is it 26 members?
That's right.
All right. Let's listen to a moment in the score where the orchestra really gets to shine. This is the transition between The Barber and His Wife and Worst Pies in London. This is from the Sweeney Todd Broadway cast album. Josh, for you as a performer, how does that massive full orchestra impact you as a performer?
Oh my gosh. There is no greater feeling as a vocalist, as an actor up there to dance that dance with absolutely another extension of our cast is mm-hmm. this extraordinary group of musical storytellers that are down there. To be able to ride the wave with them every afternoon and evening is just a thrill beyond any other. I mean, this score is flawless from start to finish. There isn't a weak moment in it. And to be able to have Sondheim and Jonathan Tunick's original orchestrated vision for the first time on Broadway in many, many, many years, decades, it's truly, it's I can't believe my luck as a singer that I get to do this every night.
It's interesting you said that there's not a flaw in it, because Thomas, you'll know, as someone who's worked in the field a long time, it takes a long time to get to that point where there aren't any flaws. You know, it's work, it's writing and rewriting. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit, about that process of getting a musical or a score from what you hope it to be and want it to be to when it actually gets to that point of being it.
Yeah, you know, as someone who spent most of their career on new work, let me tell you, it's really nice to go this one and say, wait, we don't need anything in act two. Wait, you act the openers. Yeah, well, let's play it now. Let's see what happens.
Let's not mess it up.
yeah, exactly. So to those that came before us, thank you. You know, the process of making something is often how I learn how it might be realized. So to that end, I asked Jeffrey Seller, our producer, coming out of the pandemic, when things were starting to open up again, I said to Jeffrey and to Josh and Alex Lackmore, our wonderful music director, I said, I'd love to just be inside this, just music, nothing else. Let's be with some music stands, a couple of musicians, and 10 or 11 people. And that's, I think, going to be the best way that I can really learn how to create the physical world for the show, because that's what I did. Whether it was In the Heights or Hamilton, you know, it's so iterative. So you're just doing these little pieces. And as you do those pieces, things start to emerge. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't approaching this from outside. So that actually allowed me, I kind of took this technique of making new stuff and just like, you know, said, well, that's how I've learned in this other way. So what would it be like to just be around it? And while I was in there, it started to inform some of the two-tieredness, some of the scale, you know, some of the materiality that then Mimi Lena and I could go and talk about as we were, you know, imagining what the world could be. And then all of that, you know, then cascades into the conversations with Emilio Sosa, our costume designer, Nevin Steinberg, our sound designer, and especially with Natasha Katz, because this idea of shadow and fog, this idea of what we see and what we don't see. There's so many lines in the show, you know, could it be, is that some way, you know, this inability to recognize. So that stuff starts to swirl around also. So I feel like it was nice to be inside of it in that way, and kind of reminded me of my roots as a fool who sometimes tries to make musical theater for the first time from scratch.
And I would say as an actor working under that environment, to be able to play with that openness and that discovery in the way that Tommy so wonderfully does, it allowed us to mine for new moments, new beats, new energies that are always unexpected when you have a work that you've loved for 40 years. It allowed us to come in with a nimbleness and an openness that can sometimes go missing when you have a piece that is that you hold in your hands as something so extraordinary that you just want to keep polished. You know, we had rehearsal days where we dared to, you know, throw it around a little bit and find out what else was there. And it was in those moments and in those days. And we still keep finding. We had show 200 last night, and we found new things. That's the miraculous thing about a work like this. And it started with that process that Tommy and Black gave us.
Being a director, Thomas, is about making decisions. Every director I've ever talked to, film, stage, it's about you have to make decisions. You have to make a choice. What was a tough choice that turned out to be the right choice?
What a question. You're saying it to someone who wears the exact same outfit every day. So, right? Like Josh can tell you like what the pants I'm wearing. I mean, like there's, you know,
we had a Tommy Kail day at the theater where we all wore the same navy blue shirt and dark jeans and white sneakers. It was terrifying, maybe even scarier than the show.
Yeah, the fact that I didn't recognize it as anything, I was like, finally, they've come around. And that's all I was thinking.
It's like a Jordan Peele movie.
He's bold. he says as he plays for time. You know, a tough decision. You know, I think one of the things that I feel paid off, Stephen Hoggett is our movement director in this. And, you know, Sweeney doesn't often have a significant physical vocabulary, or I haven't seen as many productions with that. And because of the, you know, the original staging was quite operatic and had a lot of movement to it in the original Hal Prince production. But we have choreography, we have movement that is that is also storytelling, along with underlining, highlighting throughout the transitional moments in this show. And I wanted to work with Stephen for a long while, and it felt like there was a real match here. Stephen is also just an incredible collaborator and a director in his own right. So the way that he was able to help unlock physical language, you know, actor to actor, was something that I think was an enormous beneficiality for our show. But I think the idea of like really trying to not be, again, as I said, don't be afraid of what the thing is, which means it doesn't have to be what it was. So to try to inject movement as another character in our story was, I think, a little bit of a gamble, but I feel like it deeply paid off.
My guest is director Thomas Kail and actor Josh Groban. We are talking about Sweeney Todd on Broadway. And of course, we have the cast album is out now. And some of the most beautiful songs in the show take place during some gory and horror-filled moments. Let's listen to you, Josh, singing a bit of Joanna from Act Two. And listeners, keep in mind, while Josh is singing the song, his character is slitting the throats of customers.
And are you beautiful and pale with yellow hair like her? I'd want you beautiful and pale the way I dreamed you were, Joanna. And if you're beautiful, what then, with yellow hair like wheat? I think we shall not meet again, my little dove, my sweet Joanna.
Joanna.
Goodbye, Joanna. You're gone and yet you're mine. I'm fine, Joanna.
Joanna. I'm fine.
Josh, how do you play with the dissonance between what you're singing and what you're doing on stage?
This is probably my favorite of many in the show. From a singing standpoint, from a physical standpoint, there's so much juxtaposition in this moment. It's the first time that there is a strange and sick calm that has come over, a sociopathic calm that has come over when Sweeney has gone full Sweeney. There's Benjamin Barker is now, he's basically saying goodbye to Benjamin. He's saying goodbye to Joanna. He's saying goodbye to the life that he had some semblance of hope that he could hang on to by a thread. Is now he's cut the thread, and there is no humanity left in him. There is just mission. And the incredibleness of what Stephen wrote there is that there are some of the most operatically beautiful lines that are happening there. In that calm that is inside Sweeney, there is chaos around him. And so from a purely physical standpoint, I also have this new fancy chair that is very clunky. It's built like a 1950s Winnebago. It is heavy. It has levers. It has, pedals. It has a clutch. So, to sing a song that's as smooth and liquid as this song is, and also maneuvering the blade and the chair and dumping people down the trap door. It's just such a great physical and vocal puzzle out there, and one that's so satisfying to be in the middle of.
Yeah, Thomas, I wanted to ask about the chair. The chair is maneuvered like they kind of just like go flying down a chute as repeatedly. How did you figure out the staging for that? How did you work on any snafus?
What's a snafu?
Say wahoo.
Sorry, we live. Very carefully, and I say that not glibly, but
no, sure.
There are so many moving parts, so many people that went into actualizing this. And Mimi and her team of designers then work with engineers, and then there's one specific shop that builds this chair. And then there's the sort of like test driving, and there's a lot of learning that comes just from doing. And then, of course, repeated doing changes things because stuff gets stuck. Obviously, I'll let Josh speak to that in specific, but and then you also have different company members on, depending on if somebody's sick or bumped their elbow. So you have different folks going down who have varied, relationships to it. Some people have done it 100 times. Some people might be like, hi, it's a Wednesday. Nice to see you. And there you go. So obviously everyone is rehearsed and practiced for sure. But it was an absolute process, and the chair and the way the audience responds to the chair, which Josh can also tell you from up there, the thrill of it, like the what it unleashes in people, you know, like the chair could get its own curtain call at the end, you know. Yeah. I mean, quite happily. We just didn't know where to put it. It was hard to get out. But it's really something that it was such a collaborative spirit that needed to accomplish that, because you can do that gesture more stylized, but there's something quite literal and mechanized that felt like it was in the world of the play we were making.
Yeah, Josh, I'm curious about the audience reactions. They're sort of about like, did that just happen?
You know, and again, so brilliantly, you know, he wrote the line "Goodbye, Joanna" on the same moment that the first body is dropping down the chute. And there is this twisted humor to it in the audience. There is this air being let out of the balloon where they actually really kind of, in a strange way, and are happy to have the moment and laughing, and sometimes they applaud. And it's, you know, it's a weird thing that, like, we've now got them with us in this kind of strange journey of Sweeney's. And you know, the chair is, if you treat her nice, she treats you nice. It's a real... It can be fussy, you know, but as Tommy said, we've got an amazing team of people at the theater that from the moment we leave the stage, there's a cleaning. I mean, there's lots of fake blood everywhere. That's another thing. We wanted this to be visceral. We wanted this to be we didn't want it to be something where we were showing what it might look like in your imagination or a red light and a tap on the shoulder. We wanted everything to be right there in front of everybody. And to get that reaction is great, but it does take a lot of people doing a lot of work to make sure that it runs smoothly.
I want to bring in Annalee Ashford to the conversation. We had her on the show. She's a delight. How much room, Thomas, is there for Annalee to improvise on a given night? Because she's given a really sort of saucy, frisky, Mrs. Lovett. I think at one point she practically climbs up Sweeney Todd like a tree when she's singing one of her songs. How much is improvised? How much is tightly choreographed? I'm really curious.
I mean, Annalee is someone who is, you know, her fidelity to the text is of the highest regard. So there's not improv in that way. Like the things that have happened have come out of rehearsals where we're trying things, and on one night it might be this and one night it might be that, but there, you know, Annalee has the ability to sort of to make the science of comedy also sort of this simply the underpinnings of something that feels like it never could have happened before. So she really applies deep rigor to that. But there's Annalee in all of this, right? Like, I mean, wait, is it all of it? Sorry. hi, long time listener, first time caller. But I just want to say, you know, there's something about the spirit of sort of possibility and anarchy that mm-hmm. she brings, and that she and Josh unlock in each other. So when we get to Little Priest at the end of Act One, if you've ever seen a group of 1,500 people ready to go on a ride, I invite you to the Lunt Theater at about 9:25 p.m. because they are just right there with them, and they're like, take us wherever you want to go. And so that's like one of the real thrills of the construction of the piece, and watching the way that Josh and Annalee intertwine and play through each other and off of each other.
Well, let's hear a little bit of A Little Priest, and we can talk about it on the other side. This is from Sweeney Todd.
Lawyer's rather nice
if it's for a price.
Order something else though to follow, since no one should swallow it twice.
Anything that's lean.
Well then, if you're British and loyal, you might enjoy Royal Marine. Anyway, it's clean. Though, of course, a taste of wherever it's been.
Is that Squire on the fire?
Mercy, no, sir. Look closer. You'll notice it's grosser.
Looks thicker. More like vicar.
No, it has to be grosser. It's green. Favors.
Is those below serving those up above?
Everybody shaves, so there should be plenty of flavor.
How gratifying for once to know
that those above will serve those down below.
And Josh, understanding that you are a professional and this is your job, how do you keep it together on nights when Annalee is particularly
when she's on one.
When she's out there.
Oh, it is, you know, Annalie has such a tool belt of abilities and experiences and training. She comes from, you know, of course, the world of traditional acting, but Shakespeare and clowning and improv. Having her as a partner in crime, literally up there, and during the rehearsal process, there is so much to react to. There is so much to bounce off of, and we have each other's back in so many ways out there, with the light and the dark. And then Sweeney finds his light through Lovett's humor, and Lovett finds dark through Sweeney's journey. And to be able to go through that, we are genuinely laughing out there every single night. We're doing it in character, you know, but we don't ever break to we're Josh and Annalie now. But it is funny, because what the characters are going through at that moment is maniacal, and it is funny. And the physicality that's been given to us to do there, is, it's impossible not to feel that humor when you're going through it. And with the audience roaring, it just becomes a real party immediately after what is the absolute bottom of the barrel depth of despair that Sweeney has gone through with Epiphany. It's the polar opposite. So it's an incredible way to end the act.
Every video, Thomas, you look up for the show has comments underneath, tons of them saying, will there be a professionally recorded performance of this production at some point? So on behalf of all of those commenters, any plans in the works for this to be recorded at some time?
Not presently. And I'm not sure with also the way some of the labor negotiations are right now, things are particularly complicated. So I hope people continue to talk and resolve and work towards resolution. I will say that.
Josh, what is a moment you look forward to every night?
Oh my goodness. Honestly, it's there's an incredible feeling every time I'm laying on the trap door that brings me up at the beginning of the show, and I can hear this second to none extraordinary ensemble of just the most incredible voices I've ever heard on a stage. And they're singing those high soprano notes, and they're blasting Sweeney Sweet to the audience. And I'm laying there, and I give myself a moment of just childlike gratitude every time I'm down there, and think about what it means to do the show, what it means to tell the story again to this new audience as Sweeney is resurrected every night to have to do this. I think about who's out there who's never seen a Broadway show before, who's out there who's never seen Sweeney before, who is the me that's out there who saw it when I was 13, who am I going to do that for tonight? And I just kind of give myself that moment to kind of reflect. And then I say, let's go do it. And then they pull me out and we ride it. But, there is no better way to start an evening than to have the one that I get to do every night. It's one that I'm deeply grateful to have the chance to do.
Sweeney Todd is now on Broadway. I've been speaking with its director, Thomas Kail, and its star, Josh Groban. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you so much for having us, Allison. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.